in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity again, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd bless during this time of Sunday school. Father, you'd be with each teacher, Heavenly Father, for there's nothing within ourselves that we can do. Father, I pray you'd move me out of the way, Father, that what be done by thee. Father, I pray to the edification of the body of Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, to uplift your name, Father, and to glorify your name, Father, because you're worthy of all praise and all the honor and all the glory. Father, now I pray, Father, your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The last time the Lord blessed me to be with you in Sunday school, we talked about being a soldier. And Brother Gerald, hit on that this morning and talked about being a soldier and to know your enemies. And I want to go back and touch on that a little bit again today, because I think one thing is very important, being a Christian today, so many times that we have laid our armor down, we've laid our weapons down, and we've become satisfied in this old world that we're living in, but that's not what God told us to do. Go back and touch on a few of the things that I've talked about last time and stuff. Paul, writing to this young minister, Timothy, he told Timothy in chapter 2, he said, to endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. He said, no man that warreth in this world entangles himself in affairs of this world, that he may be a vessel that God has chosen him to be. So God has chosen us to be soldiers. He said to endure hardness. There's nowhere in the Scripture that you're going to find Jesus saying, in this world ye shall have a bed of roses. It shall be an easy flow as you walk through this world, and everything is going to be happy, and you're just going to carry on through. Quite to the contrary, Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might. He didn't say you could. He said you would. See, that's good news and bad news. And what happens to us a lot of times, somebody comes up and says, I got good news, got bad news. I'm going to give you the bad news first. And we don't hear anything else. The bad news is far as we get. But now this was Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I'm not in myself today, I want to tell you that. I'm not in myself. I belong to the one who bought me there on the cross of Calvary and purchased my salvation by his own blood. I've been placed in Jesus this morning. My victory is not in myself. He said, be of good cheer. He said, be happy while you walk through this old world, because you know that you're victorious because I have been victorious. He is our Lord and our Savior. He's the one that's going to carry us through this old world. And listen, we're not to put our tent stakes down in this old world because we don't belong here. We don't belong here. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we're pilgrims and sojourners passing through a strange land. You see, I hadn't got home yet. See, Brother Gerald, bless his heart, sang about Jesus and the saints going home, talked about mom and daddy. They done gone home. I told people when mom and daddy passed away, said, Brother Lee, I'm sorry. I said, I'm going to miss them, but mama and daddy has gone home. I said, they never got home, but they've gone home now. You see, I have a place to live in this old world. It's not mine. Now, a lot of people say, well, I worked and paid for mine. Well, where did the health come from, brothers and sisters? Where did the job come from, brothers and sisters? Where did it come in to intervene that they would be not nothing to interfere with you making those payments? It had to be the blessings of God, and I don't own anything in this world. It belongs to Him. If it belonged to me, I'd take it with me when I left. But it's not going to go with me. It's going to stay behind because it belongs to Him, and I'm going to a home that's going to be perfect beyond my imagination. Going to be no more sorrow, no more trouble. We are pilgrims. We are sojourners in this old world, and we're not to put our affections in this old world. We've got to know who we are, and that we're to be soldiers. We've got to know our enemies. The Bible tells us about Satan. Satan is our enemy. Satan is not a plaything. Satan is not a fairy tale. You know, I believe sometimes in church today that there's not enough preaching. You know, preaching doesn't come just by getting in the pulpit. The preaching comes by studying, by praying, and by committing your heart to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that when you get in that pulpit, it's not something that you just come out with. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. It's not one of them. It's where somebody stands up and the power of God runs up and down their backbone so that they're like they're on fire and they don't even know what they're saying because their little mind can't even keep up with what the Lord is giving them. We've got a terrible enemy, and Satan is not a fairy tale. The Bible says in the book of Peter, said he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he told us to be vigilant, to be sober, to be on guard, to be watchful, because this enemy is not playing, he's seeking. Now, he's not seeking the world because he's already got the world. He's seeking you who know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. He can't steal your salvation, but he can knock you on the floor so that you can't be somebody who would work for the Lord, who would tell others about Jesus. And that's what he wants to do. The Bible says in the book of Matthew in chapter 10, we talked about this the last time, Jesus said the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Peter said he's a lion. Jesus said he's a thief. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. Later on in that scripture, he says what? He said he's a wolf. He cometh not but for to catcheth and to scattereth the sheep. If you don't think Satan wants to get in a church house and those that serve the Lord and knock them flat on their face and scatter them, you got another thing coming. Satan is not your friend. This world is not your friend. It's not your friend. You don't belong to this place. You don't belong to this world. And Satan is your enemy, and he will do everything within his power, everything within his power to destroy your witness as the Lord. Now, if you don't believe that, you see me after church. I'm going to tell you something now. If you want to talk to somebody about something, don't talk to somebody that knows everything about everything. Talk to somebody that knows something. If you want to talk to somebody about working on a car or something, talk to Brother Mike back there. That's what he does. He works on cars. He'll tell you a little bit about them. If you want to talk to somebody about building something, talk to Brother Troy. He can tell you a little bit about building and construction and stuff. If you want to talk to somebody about lies, talk to Satan. The Bible says he's the father of liars. He knows about lying. My wife said, Lee, you beat all our scenes. Said, she'll ask me something, I'll tell her something, we'll crack me. She said, you lying, Lee? Said, you lying? I said, yeah, but I'm good, ain't I? Satan is a liar, and he's the father of liars, and he knows how to lie. Peter said he's a roaring lion. Jesus said he's a thief, he's a killer, he's a destroyer, he's a wolf. Nobody in here would want somebody to say, now listen, I got this room over here. He said, in this room, I've got a lion. He said, I've got a wolf. He said, I've got a thief. I've got a killer. I've got a destroyer. And I'm going to put you in that room with them. Which corner are you going to get in and feel safe? Which corner are you going to get in and feel safe? But Satan's not going to be like that to you. We talked about that. The Bible says Satan is a deceiver. Paul, in the scriptures, I quoted to you from last time from Corinthians, this carnal church, Paul said, but I fear, lest it by any means, as Satan deceived Eve through his subtlety. He didn't come to her like a roaring lion. He walked right into the garden, sat down right beside her. You better look out who's sitting beside you. Because the Bible says that Satan is a thief. He's a thief. A thief doesn't tear the door off of a house and stuff coming in. He slips in. He slips in. He slides in. If you don't think he wants to slide to church, watch him. Watch him. All he wants to do is get one toe hold in. That's all he wants. The Bible says that he deceived Eve through his subtlety. Now, if you look that word up, subtlety, you're going to find out that that is an artist, cunning. He's crafty. He's crafty. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. You look on TV and watch the commercials. I don't care, you know, what kind of commercial it is. If it's of the world, they're going to show you or Satan is going to show you a beautiful painting. He's going to show you a beautiful painting. He's going to show you all these young people, and they're going to look so good. Women are going to be fixed to a T. They're beautiful. The men, they all young and masculine. Good Lord, the devil's going to tell you, said, listen. So you're trying to serve the Lord, but look at this. Said, all you do is struggle and wrestle all the time. You need to have a little bit of fun. Said, look at these people right here. They're having a good time. Look at them. Look at them. Now, that's his painting. If you don't believe that, look on the TV. Look on your advertisement. See if I'm telling you a lie or see if I'm telling you the truth. That's a painting that Satan has painted. Now, you think about this. In those same commercials, you don't see anybody that looks like they hadn't combed their hair in about 3 or 4 days. You don't see anybody that's got 2 teeth, one on top, one on bottom. You don't see anybody that weighs over 400 pounds. You don't see anybody that's got sandals on and the big toenails about that thick and just yellers a pumpkin. You don't see that. You don't see it. It sounds funny, but I'm telling you, you don't see that. And you don't see the other side of that painting. You don't see that daddy. You don't see that daddy had a good job. He had a good wife. He had a good family. Had a good home. You don't see him laying down somewhere without anything left. You don't see that mama who was a good housewife. Had a good home, good children. And now she's got nothing. And I'm going to tell you something else that tears your heart. You don't see these little children anymore. You don't see these little children anymore. They ain't got no mama. They ain't got no daddy. They scattered from here to there, from point to point, crying. And you wonder why the children are like they are today. Satan is on every corner. I'm telling you, he's on every corner. Everything that the Bible said about Satan is true. He is a thief. He is a thief. He'll take everything you've got right out from under you before you know it. He's a killer. A destroyer. He'll destroy your home. He'll destroy your life. And you'll be knocked down flat in your face. You've got to know your enemies. You better know this enemy, Satan. And you better know this old flesh. You better know this old flesh. And where it can take you. Don't say I won't do that, because you'll be the next one down. Now, we want to criticize everybody when we see someone down. But the Bible says, according to the Christians in Galatians, says when you see a brethren overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. That's a key word right there. Ye which are spiritual. Not busybodies. Not busybodies. Not somebody wants to come in and find out what's going on. What's happened to you? What's happened? You said, I'm going through the hardest thing. That's all I want to know. And then you run off and tell somebody else. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore. Restore such a one, considering yourself, lest ye also be tempted. Now you think about that. Bible was saying, Jesus was saying, the Holy Ghost was saying through His servants, you're liable to be the next one to fall. What you want then? What do you want then? Do you want prayer and help? Or do you want somebody to criticize and kick you while you're down? We're part of a family, people. We're a part of the body of Christ. We belong one to another. One to another. Turn to the book of James with me. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Now this is written to the church. It's not written to the world. The Bible is for the church. The Bible says that all inspiration is given of God, that it may be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. The Lord has furnished us. He's furnished us with armor. He's furnished us with everything that we need while we're traveling through this world. And remember, we are traveling. We do not belong. chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, James, he said, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Satan wants you to sit down in the middle of this world. The devil is going to tell you, you can just enjoy this world and go on. You can serve God and enjoy this world. That way you can be a fence walker. You can go down this fence and be one over here on the right side. They'll say something to you. I agree with you 100%. Yes, sir. You go a little further down the line, somebody on the left side say something to you. Yes, I agree with you. And keep on walking. That's not true. You're going to have to choose a side where you're going to stand. You're going to have to make a stand somewhere. And if I'm on a stand, I want to stand on the side where I know I got my support. Where I know I got my strength. Where I know I got my armor. Where I know I've got my truth. And that's where? That's on Jesus' side. You cannot be a friend of this world and serve the Lord. It says to serve the Lord and try to be a friend of this world, you make yourself the enemy. Make yourself the enemy. When Satan deceived Eve, he got her to looking at the tree. And he told her, said, "Look at that tree, it's a beautiful tree. Look at the fruit, it's a beautiful fruit." And I said, Satan was the father of liars. He knows how to tell a lie. Because he'll mix the truth and the lie, and it'll sound so good you can't hardly stand it. Because Eve told him, the whole time she was looking, she remembered the words of God, but she was letting herself look. Sometimes you're going to have to close your eyes. You're going to have to put your faith in the Lord and close your eyes. But the devil made her look. She kept on looking the whole time. And Satan said, "That's a beautiful tree, beautiful fruit." And Eve said, "We can't eat thereof because God said the day we eat thereof, we're going to die." What did the devil tell her? He said, "Thou shalt not surely die, but you'll become like God, knowing good and evil." He missed the lie and the truth. They sound so good. The next thing she knows, she was plucking fruit. So if you want to be deceived, you can be deceived. Or you'd close your eyes to the temptation. He said, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" We've got two spirits, those who've been born again. The first is natural, of the flesh. It desires the things of the world. It desires sinful things. It wants sinful things. But we've got another spirit, another birth, that's of Jesus Christ, of the blood that He shed there on the cross of Calvary. And these two natures are contrary one to the other. The Bible says you cannot do the things that you would because you're in a struggle. You're in a what? You're in a warfare. I said what? Because you're a soldier. You're a soldier. Paul said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier, that you may please Him that hath chosen you to be a soldier." Lord, help us to please our Heavenly Father, to seek His face. Listen now, you're going to get a weapon right here, verse 6. It said, "But He giveth more grace." Right there is one of your weapons. Who in here can stand up that knows Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of their life and say, "Brother Lee, I don't need grace"? Who can say that? Who can honestly say that without fear in your heart? "For by grace are ye saved." We'd have no hope in this world if it wasn't for the grace of God and the blood that Jesus shed there on the cross of Calvary. It is these things that brought our salvation to us, and we need His grace every day that we live to serve Him. Every day that we live. "But He giveth more grace." Listen to what the Bible says. "Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Do you know what? Before you can get humble, you've got to see yourself for what you are. You've got to see yourself for what you are. When I read this scripture, I thought about the story that Jesus told about the Pharisee and the publican there in the temple. The Bible says that the Pharisee stood upright in the temple and he told God, said, "God, I thank You that I am what I am. I'm a wonderful person. Look at me. You're glad I come in here today, aren't you, Lord? Ain't I wonderful by grace in your house? I thank you that I'm not an adulterer. I thank you that I'm not a liar. I thank you that I'm not none of all these things. I pay my tithes. I'm a wonderful person. I thank you that I'm not even like this old publican over here. And the Bible says, and Jesus said, the publican would not so much as lift his eyes up to heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man went away from the house of God justified rather than the other, because he saw. But the Pharisee was blind because he could not see himself. Before you can get humble, you've got to see yourself. You've got to realize what you are, what kind of sinner, what kind of failure that you are in this old world according to this flesh. Paul said in the book of Romans, he said, I know that in me, that is according to my flesh, there dwells no good thing. No good thing. I ain't got one thing in me that's good. Everything about me is sinful and failing. But by His grace, by His blood, by His love, by His mercy, by Him sending His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have hope beyond this old world. You know, I read this right here, and I thought about some scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 23. Here God's servant to the Gentiles, our apostle, under the direction of the Holy Ghost by the power of God. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Listen to what the Scripture says. If God had a foolish side, He'd still be a lot smarter than we are. The Bible says, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. If God had a weak side, He'd still be more powerful than we have thought about being. Now listen to what the Scripture says. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Don't call a lot of wise men. You know why? Because they don't need God. They're too smart for God. They're too smart for the foolishness that one would die on the cross to pay for the sins of all. He don't call many mighty men. You know why? Because they don't need Him. I've got my own strength. I got my own strength within myself. You can look out and say, because I'll be in heaven with you. You believe that, you'll die and burn in hell. The Bible says not many noble. You know why not many noble? Because they're too noble. They're too far up on the ladder. They're on the rung so far up they can't even see you on the rung that you own. Because they've got no nobility. They've got their prestige. They don't need things of God. And God can't reach them because they've settled within themselves of what they are. The Bible says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. What about that? Now, do you remember when Peter and all of them, the disciples, they were in jail? And Jesus, you know, He'd done told them ahead of time, said, listen, said, they're going to bring you up before the magistrates. They're going to bring you up before the judges. They're going to bring you up before all these wise men, mighty men, trained men, learned men. It don't take no thought of what you say before you get there. They don't even worry about it. You don't have to prepare a sermon or anything. He said, because when you get there, the Holy Ghost is going to give you what you need to say, and they're not going to be able to resist your wisdom. The Bible says here, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He said, God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God's chosen the weak things, the base things, the things that don't mean a thing in the world to serve Him. and to tell those that are mighty and noble and wise about the ways of the Lord. Let's go back to the book of James now in chapter 4. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Now, everything has to be in its right order. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Satan's not scared of you. He ain't worried about you. He'd knock you flat on your face. The Bible says, I told you a while ago, Jesus speaking, Jesus said that Satan was like a wolf that catcheth the sheep and scatters them. And when I read this right here, I thought about it. I said, you know, Satan's going to go after the weakness person. Satan knows your weakness. He knows where your weakness is. And that's where he's going to try to get you. And if he can get you away from a flock, if he can get you away from the body of Christ, I'm telling you what, listen, this reading is so important that you be in church. Because let me tell you something, it's just like a fireplace, and you got all these embers burning together. But you can pull one ember out, won't be long, it's gone out. You can pull another one out, it won't be long, it's gone out. And that's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to take you out of church. He doesn't want you to be here. He doesn't want you to hear the Word of God, not the true Word of God. He wants to separate you. Now, I thought about this right here. I thought about scattereth the sheep. I thought about a little old weak sheep. And this out here is on the outside of all the flock. And Satan's after it like a wolf. And that wolf sees that weak sheep. He ain't worried about the rest of them. So this one's weak. It's knocked down. He wants it. Because if he can get it, he can destroy it. He can't take his salvation, but he can destroy the sheep. So it is laying on the side. Sin in a Christian's life will bring you to death. If you continue in sin, you can say what you want to. God will take you out. God will take you out. But here he is, Satan's after this one little sheep. And I thought about this. I thought about that sheep running, trying to get away from the wolf and looking back over his shoulder and run and look and run and look and scared to death. Scared to death. And all of a sudden it tops a hill, and there in the middle of that field, what does it see? It sees the good shepherd. It sees the good shepherd. The wolf ain't seen him yet because he's got his eyes on the sheep. But that little sheep sees a good shepherd, knows who the good shepherd is, and he says, if I can make it there, I'll be all right. If I can make it there, I'll be all right. And the wolf's still right on his tail, and the sheep runs right to the shepherd, gets right between his legs, and he whoops around and looks. And all of a sudden, the devil sees what he sees, the good shepherd, and he knows the race is over. He goes to locking his brakes down and sliding and trying his best to turn around. And the Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, he shall flee from you. Think about these things in your life. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Keep your armor on. Keep your armor on. The Word of God, keep it on you all the time. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Write the words in your heart. So that you'll know them. And then when temptation comes, use those weapons to fight the one who would destroy you. Brother Ken, that's all I've got.